Welcome to Piedmont Arts. I'm Rachel Stewart. The photographer Paul Strand once said, "The artist's world is limitless. It can be found anywhere, far from where he lives or a few feet away. It's always on his doorstep." On this week's episode, we learn about an artist for whom this was definitely true. We'll talk to the son of Jack Boole, who was an artist who loved to paint the world around him and found profound inspiration in the beauty of Western North Carolina. And Phil Vavra shares ideas for things you can do in our area this holiday season with his weekly fanfare segment coming up in just a little bit. And spoiler alert, there's a lot of stuff going on, and Phil will fill you in. The Blowing Rock Art and History Museum is currently showing a collection of works by the artist Jack Boole, whose work focuses on the rhythms of life in urban, agrarian, and domestic landscapes. It's called Jack Boole, Land, City, Home. Boole's work is included in collections at the National Gallery of Art, the Smithsonian, and the Library of Congress, as well as other private and public collections. He was born in Brooklyn and ultimately ended up in Washington, D.C., where he was for most of his career. And he spent a number of summers at Camp Catawba in Blowing Rock, which informed his artistry. And here to talk about Jack Boole's art and the exhibition at Blowing Rock is his son, David Boole. David, it's great to talk to you.
Well, thank you so much, Rachel, for having me. I appreciate it.
Can you give us a little background about your dad and about his career?
Sure. As you mentioned, my dad was a native New Yorker, but moved to Washington early on. He attended American University, and then he taught at American University for many years before he founded a nonprofit school in Washington called the Washington Studio School. And he was a pretty prolific painter. He had a retrospective at the Corcoran across from the White House, which is kind of unusual for somebody who's living. He had a show in Charlotte at the Mint Museum in 1986, but he's quite accomplished. He passed away about a year ago at age 97, and he painted almost up until the end. It was a full life. He was very prolific, and we're so pleased that Blowing Rock Art and History Museum is having this exhibition. So I went to a summer camp when I was a little kid, started in 1966 in Blowing Rock. It was run by a Holocaust survivor and was adjacent to the Cone Estate, which Moses Cone, who was the denim king of North Carolina at the time, had a large property. And right adjacent to that was a summer camp. It was a music and arts camp. I went to camp there, and my father would come mostly because my mother, who's was a psychotherapist, was afraid for me to be away from home for so long, especially when I was a little kid. So she dispatched my father to allegedly teach art for a week or so, just to make sure that everything was okay at the camp. And dad just fell in love with the place and the Blue Ridge Mountains and the magic of the mountains. And he did a lot of rural paintings. He's a New Yorker, but my dad loved to paint cows and trees and canals. Mostly he painted rural scenes. And then those are on exhibit at the museum in Blowing Rock through the first week in March.
Okay. So how many years would you say he came to Camp Catawba? He returned year after year, right?
Yeah, he did. I would say it was four. But after the camp closed in the early 70s, the director, Vera Lachman, continued to summer there. And I was living in Greensboro, North Carolina at the time. I was a newspaper reporter. And so my folks would come and visit me, and I would take them up there. So even though the camp closed, we were on the camp property, and he was, you know, sketching and painting up there as well.
I have to ask you, did you think it was weird that your dad came to camp with you?
Yes. Nobody else's father came, but, you know, that was my mom.
So what do you think it was that really struck your father about Western North Carolina and inspired him the most?
I think it was the mountains, to be honest, the beauty of the mountains. Dad liked natural beauty. He paints like the French Impressionists. He's old-fashioned and continued to be old-fashioned his whole career. You know, he never went for stripes or polka dots or any modern art. He didn't do video art. He just did old-fashioned painting. And it's very pleasing to see. I'm particularly pleased with the Blowing Rock Art and History Museum because it's a little gem. If you've never been there, it's only about an hour and a half from Charlotte. It's right in downtown Blowing Rock. The folks that run it are absolutely outstanding. The executive director, Stephen Dragasiak, and the curator, Gabe Wilson, those guys know what they're doing, and the community is lucky to have them. For a small community, it's really a gem of an art museum.
Yeah, I've been there once, and you're right. Okay. It's amazing what they have there.
Yeah, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the paintings that are there now.
Well, Dad liked to paint people on benches. So there's a lot of pictures of little old ladies, little old men on benches. He did beach scenes. We have a house at the Outer Banks, and he has a beach scenes that he painted there. He likes cows. My dad likes to paint cows. And it's not just the cows. It's the geometric shapes of the spots on the cows. And it's the relationship between the cows next to each other that interests him. It's geometry. But he's interested in the formation of paintings of objects on a page. He's interested in negative space, so what the area that's not painted. And these are all things that are, if you're not an artist, if you just spend a little bit of time looking at it, they'll come clean. Dad's stuff is very easy to look at. There's nothing upsetting about it. There are two kinds of artworks on display at the Bloomingbrook Art and History Museum. One of them are oil paintings. The other thing my father does is they're called monotypes. And what you do is they're black and white. They're one of a kind. And you paint on a metal plate. And you run the metal plate through an antique, but Dad had an antique press. And you remove the paper from the ink. This is hard to describe, but you get one copy of an impression. Dad's curator at the National Gallery of Art used to say, it's a very easy thing to do. It's a very hard thing to do well. And my dad was considered the dean of monoprints in Washington. It's kind of like if you think about finger painting with when you can manipulate the ink on the page. My father used Q-tips to manipulate the painting.
Okay.
Again, you can see my dad's website is jackbuhl.com. His Instagram is jackbuhlartist. It's hard to explain for a novice like myself, but you can see it better when you look online or on Instagram.
Right. And just to make sure I'm clear, the monoprint, it's one print. It's not like another printing process
exactly.
Where you get multiple.
Exactly, because once you put the paper on the metal plate and remove it, the image disappears from the metal plate. The image is gone, and so you just have the one piece of paper that you had. I don't know if I'm doing a good job, Rachel, explaining it. I'm trying.
I think I get it.
All right.
So when the exhibit opened a few months ago, there was a special concert that went with
right.
the opening. And I know that there was a special collaboration that happened between you and a friend. And if you want to describe that for us?
Yes. One of the people I went to summer camp with, so I was 6 years old at the time, okay? One of the music counselors was a guy named Roger Treyfus. And it was all classical music that was performed there. And I had not seen or heard from Roger in 50 years. But in September, a year ago, my father was having a show in New York. And in the next room of the club where the show was being held, there was a performance. There was a program, and it said they were going to be showing a film on Jackson Pollock that was on PBS. It was narrated by Dustin Hoffman. And they said the music for this particular movie was composed by Roger Treyfus. And I said, there are not two people in America who are classical music composers whose name is Roger Treyfus. I said, I'm sure this is the same guy that I knew at summer camp in Blowing Rock. So I wrote a note, and he came the next day to see me at the art museum where my dad's show was happening. And he told me all the things that he does. He's very talented. He's composed operas. He's composed soap operas. He's composed music for two off-Broadway musicals. And one of the things he does is he makes music inspired by paintings. So I asked him to look around the exhibit in New York where we were and said, does my father's artwork appeal to you? And he said, it does. And so my partner and I commissioned him to compose a suite of 8 pieces of music based on my father's paintings. We premiered this music in Blowing Rock at the Blowing Rock Art and History Museum. And the musicians were from the Appalachian State University Hayes School of Music. And they did a marvelous job. So what happened at the concert, which is going to be repeated, I'll tell you that in a minute. But what happens at the concert is the musicians are there, and there's a viola and a violin and a tuba and a piano, 8 instruments. as the musicians are performing, my father's painting is projected behind the musicians. And then when the song changes, the painting changes. Hopefully, well, we're going to make this music available to folks, including WDAV, and hopefully you all might be able to play a snippet here or there. But we're also repeating the concert in Washington in February at the Krieger Museum, which is a very prestigious museum. And so it'll be the same thing. And we're working on having additional concerts based on the music that Roger Treyfus composed.
Will your father's paintings be at these other places as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I was pleased that my dad, who I said, as I mentioned, passed away at 97, just before he died, we were able to hold up one of his paintings and play him one of the songs, a computer-generated version of the song. So he heard it and he knew we were doing this. So that pleased me to no end.
That's great. So So this project started before he passed away.
Exactly. And he had talked with the composer, Roger Treyfus, so they had a discussion about it, and Roger was very involved in trying to match his creative thinking with my father's painting.
Just some final thoughts about what it means to you to be able to do this with your father's work.
So I was a television producer my whole career. I'm not an artist. I can't paint. But I think every child and every father, every daughter, every mother, you kind of want to continue the legacy of your parents. And so it doesn't matter whether you bake bread and you want to keep the recipe that your mother made baking bread, or if you owned a dry cleaner and you wanted to continue the service to your community, or if you're an artist. It means a lot to me to be able to share my father's art with folks and to be able to continue his legacy. So I helped organize this exhibit at the Blowing Rock Art and History Museum. I'm giving lectures. I gave a lecture at American University about my dad last month. I'm going to be giving a lecture at UCLA coming up. So it's a great joy to me to continue my father's legacy and share his artwork with everyone. And I really do encourage the WDAV community to make the trip up to Blowing Rock. It's not that far. It's a lovely town, and it's an exhibit of about 40 paintings, and it's special.
Well, I want to thank you so much, David Boole, for talking to us about your father, Jack Boole, the artist whose paintings are on display at Blowing Rock Art and History Museum. And it's called Jack Boole, Land, City, and Home. Thanks again.
Thank you, Rachel.
Jack Boole, Land, City, Home will be on view at Blowing Rock Art and History Museum until March 7th, 2026. You can find out more at blowingrockmuseum.org. And you can see some of Boole's paintings there and also at jackboole.com. By the way, the music you're hearing was mentioned in our conversation. It is by Roger Treyfus and was written to accompany Boole's paintings and was recorded at the exhibition opening by musicians from the Hayes School of Music at Appalachian State University. If you're wondering what holiday activities and events are happening in the area, Phil Vavra has the scoop.
Thanks, Rachel. Christmas is coming in hot, and so is the holiday entertainment over the next week. I found a slew, or I guess I should say sleighful, of opportunities for you to embrace the sacred and secular sounds of the season. So take a break from the shopping and treat yourself to a seat at one of these upcoming performances. Charlotte Symphony Orchestra resident conductor Christopher James Lees is leading Holiday Pops, A Carolina Christmas, at Knight Theater December 12th through 14th. This festive concert celebrates North Carolina's rich musical heritage as the sounds of bluegrass, blues, and gospel converge in traditional holiday songs honoring Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and Christmas that feel uniquely like Carolina. The CSO will be joined by the Charlotte Master Chorale and a number of guest musicians. Ebenezer might be miserly, but at least he can carry a tune. Matthew's Playhouse is bringing back Scrooge the Musical for the fourth year in a row, December 5th through 14th. This spirited adaptation of Charles Dickens's A Christmas Carol is recommended for ages 8 and up. Samuel A. Kaiser leads the 60-member all-volunteer Lake Norman Orchestra. They're bringing the sounds of the season to Bethel Presbyterian Church in Cornelius on Friday, December 12th at 7 p.m. The free concert will include Leroy Anderson's Sleigh Ride, the carol Do You Hear What I Hear, and Trans-Siberian Orchestra's Christmas Eve Sarajevo 1224. More about them in a moment, by the way. If you love the Nutcracker, you'll also want to add Clara's Trip to your calendar. This contemporary twist on Tchaikovsky's holiday classic is coming to Booth Playhouse in Charlotte December 12th through 15th and the Comma Performing Arts Center in Morganton on December 20th. Created by North Carolina choreographer Caroline Kalush, Clara's Trip is an entertaining fusion of gravity-defying cirque, athletic dancing, and a timeless story that is a treat for the entire family. Don't worry, you haven't missed out on your opportunity to hear George Friedrich Handel's iconic oratorio Messiah live this holiday season. Conductor Michelle Merrill leads the Winston-Salem Symphony and Chorus on Saturday, December 13th, 7:30 p.m. at Wake Forest University's Waite Chapel in Winston-Salem. The Charlotte Music Club is celebrating its 100th anniversary with a performance of Handel's Messiah Part 1 at First United Methodist Church in Charlotte on Sunday, December 14th at 3 p.m. The community chorus and orchestra will be led by Ginger Wyrick for this free concert. Trans-Siberian Orchestra, I told you, they're returning to the Queen City for two shows at Spectrum Center on Saturday, December 13th, 2:30 and 7:30 p.m. TSO's 2025 winter tour, The Ghosts of Christmas Eve, feature the group's signature light show and pyrotechnics set to an electrifying soundtrack of their most beloved songs. First Presbyterian Church of Mooresville and Performance Coffee House are presenting Giancarlo Menotti's Amahl and the Night Visitors on Saturday, December 13th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, December 14th at 3 p.m. in the 143 Broad Worship Space in Mooresville. The musical drama tells the story of a poor shepherd boy and his mother who are visited by the three kings who are on their way to Bethlehem to visit Jesus. Admission is free. The Gaston Choral Society and special guests the Gold Street Brass are presenting Earth Shall Ring at First Baptist Church of Gastonia on December 13th and 14th. The holiday concert will feature classic carols and joyful new choral favorites that capture the spirit of the season. Lee Street Theater in Salisbury is bringing back its annual Scrooge Christmas Trolley Tour. Ebenezer himself shares his famous story on this multi-stop 40-minute trolley ride through Salisbury with appearances by Tiny Tim, Bob Cratchit, Jacob Marley, and the Ghosts of Christmas Past, Present, and Future. Trolley shows are on the hour starting at 6, 7, 8, and 9 p.m., and the trolley seats up to 28 people. And the Charlotte Symphony Orchestra is collaborating with the Charlotte Jewish community to present Festival of Lights, a musical celebration of Hanukkah at Knight Theater on Thursday, December 18th. Resident conductor Christopher James Lees and the CSO are joined by vocalists cantor Shira Lissick and cantor Danielle Rodnitsky, violist Benjamin Geller, and a children's choir from local congregations to perform music from across the centuries and a lively sing-along of favorite Hanukkah songs. This is certainly a special time of year, and I hope you and your family are able to make the most of it. Remember, you can read my complete fanfare column every week at WDAV.org, and fanfare is made possible in part by Bragg Financial. Rachel?
Thanks, Phil. Well, there's certainly plenty to see and do this holiday season around here, and I hope you'll be able to get out and enjoy some of these great events. That's all for this week's episode. Be sure to subscribe to Piedmont Arts on Apple Podcasts or iHeart Podcasts to get new episodes when they drop. And find past episodes on those apps or at wdav.org/podcasts. For Piedmont Arts, I'm Rachel Stewart.